Blog Talk Radio.
Keep your head.
Keep your head.
To the sky.
Keep your head.
Keep your
and sisters, shalom, shalom, and happy Wednesday, happy, let's see, fourth day. Know that on the fourth day, great things did happen, that the firmaments and everything, the stars were created. But anyway, this is hump day, and I pray that you are ready to get over the hump and keep going. One thing we say around here is you got to keep moving. Just put one step in front of the other. Thank you for tuning in to Inspirational Wednesday. I am Elder V, and this lesson, this show is brought to you by Almhoida here on Blog Talk Radio. You know what? Contrary to popular belief, I'm still going. Not about to give up or throw in the towel, despite the naysayers and the haters. Boy, you just can't pull some of us down. They couldn't even pull Trump down. We're going to get into that a little bit later. But let me hear your war cry this morning. Some of you that can't wait till Shabbat gets here, I thought I'd give you a little bit of taste of when we call a solemn assembly, when we call for war, when we call for prayer, when we call for fasting. So let's go before our Abba in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Bless those underneath the sound of my voice that hear this broadcast. As they hear it in the archives or they're listening live, give them the strength they need to persevere. But we know that the race is not given to the swift nor the strong, but the one that endures to the end. Father, every day with you is sweeter than the day before. We don't just look to one day. We worship you every day. We tear down and shatter the myth that we're only to worship you on the Sabbath and the Shabbat. That is a set apart day, but today we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you worship. Bless those that are in need of a spiritual breakthrough, of deliverance from demons, vices, possessions, oppressions. Cause them to be set free. One thing about you is that when you set someone free, you set them free indeed, without a doubt. I pray that my people will know deliverance and the true manifestation of the power of the Ruach HaKodosh, the Holy Spirit. Bless our time together. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, we'll get ready to get into it. Before we get started with a few things we want to talk about, go ahead and bring in Deacon Abiram, say Shalom to him. How's the retired man down there?
Well, I didn't want to rub it in or anything because, you know, Hump Day doesn't have the same meaning to me anymore. It's kind of like a flat road now, but I just hope all of the Hebrews out there and the strangers among us are that this gives them inspiration to get over that hump and finish out the week and head on to Shabbat.
That's right. That's right. We're going to have to get you a calendar so you can remember what day of the week it is.
I'm telling you, I need that.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well, it's a blessing to, of course, be in that position to have ceased from the majority of your labors, but you're still working for the Most High.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
That's right. That's right.
Well, I hope everything's going good with you, Brother D.
Yeah, everything's going well. You know, I and my wife were just laughing at some things. It's just we just look at how things go. But you know, one thing we know is that some things that we laugh about, we know we'll never let them happen again. Because you know, mistakes. Scripture even said he did, but Scripture warns us, and I love the Most High how He sits back to watch and see what we're going to do. He gives us fair warning through the word and through the scriptures. And I trust the Ruach so much to the point where, which is why I spoke that message last Saturday, where I don't want to lose the Holy Spirit. Like David said, take not your spirit away from me. Cast me not away from your presence. And when I said I'm staying right here, I meant that. It took me years to get to where I am and a lot of mistakes, trials, and tribulations. Why would I digress for a moment of temptation, a moment of anger, moment of hatred, moment of variance, a moment of revenge? That's big on the Hebrews plate. Always trying to get revenge or tell somebody off. That's not going to happen. And it's very important that we know those that labor amongst us too, so that we don't set ourselves up for failures by walking with those that can't wait to stab you in the back.
Well, you know, Brother V, also, you know, why a person out there looking for revenge, you know, and they focus on that. Be careful, next thing you know, you fall into a pit. So,
right.
Vengeance is mine, saith the Most High, and let him handle it.
You know, there was a time, Brother D, I didn't want to let him handle it. I wanted to take it into my own hands. I wanted to be swift. But I saw and finally learned how he could do it so much better than we could ever do it. He does it well because he's trying to keep us in a place of peace. When you become consumed with revenge, you can become consumed with anger and hatred and variance till it takes you over and you lose the ruach. You lose your joy. You lose your peace. And your sole focus is to bring harm to somebody else because of what they did to you. What type of follower of Christ is that? What type of a person that's supposed to be in the way and keeping the commandments is that? Whose sole focus is no longer the Most High, no longer the commandments. You're just trying to get that person back. You are not in the will of Yah. You are not.
Not at all.
So he's very clear, brothers and sisters. Go ahead.
And in the end, his will be done.
His will be done. He already put it out there. Touch not my anointed. It was better for you to tie a millstone around your neck than to offend one of these little ones. Who's the little ones? Us that have childlike faith that he told us to have. We come towards him. He already put scriptures in there telling people that if you mess with my anointed, my call, my prophets, my children, I mean, this is something you don't want to do because I will avenge them that are about my business because I need them to be about my business. While you're working for Satan going around trying to bring harm, danger, damnation, destruction because you're caught up into the 10th commandment, which is bearing false witness against the neighbor, trying to destroy their character, trying to bring defamation. These people aren't living for Yah. These are people that are living for Satan. You don't think Yah will not deal with them? Yes, he will. He does it so much better than he could ever do it. Yes. So I just wanted to encourage somebody with that today, that no weapon formed against you can prosper, Isaiah 54:17. Touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. And also, furthermore, that he is going to finish what he started in you. So it's important that you focus on him and your labor for him, the things that you want to do for Yah. That's what we most focus on. I want to thank you all for listening and staying with us because we're making some changes before we get into a brief discussion about this election and the scriptures and how it pertains to that and how it affects us. We have made some changes. Of course, Heart of a Hebrew Woman still on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. right now, and Inspirational Wednesdays still at 8 a.m. However, the biggest change is that Blueprint for Life will now be on Friday evening. Friday evenings, you'll have to tune in. We will no longer do Blueprint for Life on Saturdays at 10 a.m. We will not be broadcasting live, and that's because on Saturdays, the seventh day, we will be at the church, at the synagogue, I won't say church, at the gathering place, at the facility, 6101 International Boulevard in Oakland. Service time is at 10 a.m. We are recording it, but I will not show the rebroadcast until later on in the week. I plan on uploading excerpts of our getting together last Shabbat. We were blessed by a wonderful kids choir that came and opened up the service, Deuteronomy 6:4, had a good fellowship. But I ain't going to let you sit at home and eat a sandwich while you watch me live. You got to come out and see us and fellowship with us. So 6101 International Boulevard, we're ministering to that community and having a live gathering for Sabbath. And as soon as we're done, just like Acts 13:15, we go back home and rest. No time for chit-chat, sitting around, out of words, kicking it, blah, blah, blah. No, we come into the synagogue to hear the reading of the laws, to hear a word, acknowledge the Sabbath, the Shabbat, and then continue our period of rest. So you can look for the rebroadcast on YouTube. Be the Preacher to My Torah on YouTube. May not be on Facebook, but we will be posting it.
Much needed rest, too, after going through a week of this world pressing upon us.
Yes, Much needed. If you ever needed a Sabbath rest, this last final hour, seconds that we're living in, you really need to learn how to rest and shut off the news media, the TV, what they say is getting ready to happen to the economy and all that. You need to just block all that out on the Sabbath and focus on the Most High and His will for your life. Pray, bless His name, not cook, not be out in the world spending money, not even going to the movies. Let your influence be that of Yah. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, Brother D, I had a lot of folks talking about voting and not voting, and did you vote, and should you have voted, and, you know, what's
well,
your take
you know,
on something?
What I do is I vote on the local offices here in the state and propositions. As far as the state and federal officials or officers or whatnot, they're bought and paid for. You know, they're not we're not the constituents anymore, so I'm not playing the game. You know, your local
right.
offices, the judges, just like stuff like that, that affects you directly. It just affects your community.
Right.
But the rest of that, I'm not getting in that game. Matter of fact,
right.
for the last presidential election, I exercised my right and did a write-in. I wrote in Yeshua for president. I mean, like I said, because people that was there, they're not worthy.
I'm in agreement with you. That's an excellent write-in. We should all put down the King of Kings next time you go to vote
exactly.
for president. And the reason being is
exactly.
because let me go ahead and give the scripture real quick. We continue talking about what you're saying. It's that Deuteronomy 17 and 15. There's a scripture that all the Hebrews are alluding to, but they're not even exercising their right as it pertains to the initiatives and the measures and the propositions. And that does affect change. Listen, I voted that they would repeal this gas tax so we wouldn't have to suffer at the
yes.
pumps, but it lost. Because we live here in California where you got some of the most, I don't want to make a dismissive comment, but I don't understand why Californians would vote yes to tax their own selves and allow this state to continue to tax them at the pumps where it really affects us
that,
on a daily basis.
Hold on a second. That went down to defeat, six?
That went down to defeat because our people voted to tax themselves. Now, how ludicrous is
that? Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Did they vote yes or no? Because yes was to get rid of that tax.
No. Well, they voted no. The no won.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So in other words, the gas will not be going down as of tomorrow.
I guess the people in California do, just like they say, do have too much money. You know, because that's the way they think. They say, yeah, you people in California got lots of money, so we can tax you. And I guess the people in California feel the same way.
Well, I think that the advertisements were very effective. All those commercials were very effective. And they scared people because this is Earthquake County. And when they show those bridges and start talking about bridges collapsing like it did in the earthquake, people panic. And not only that, I don't know if you noticed or got out last week or 2 weeks ago, they put Caltrans out in massive numbers and begin paving multiple roads so that they can win. Prior to that, they did not put the money towards the roads. But right before the
exactly.
election, they went ahead and paved a bunch of bad roads so they could say, see what we're going to do with the money? So they just, and the people are so simple-minded because Proverbs, we already know that the law of the Lord is perfect. Psalms 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, making wise. It will even make wise the simple. So it not only converts the heart, but most people have a simple mind if they don't keep the laws and statutes of Yah. Psalms 19:7 tells us that. So they take advantage of the simple minds, pave a few roads, put on a commercial that scares people to death, and people will vote to tax themselves. How crazy is that?
Yep, exactly, isn't it? As we know, the thinking isn't right as it is. Because you look at the fact that they don't want to come back to these laws, touching the commandments. And you're not thinking right to begin with.
Right, right. And then the other thing, of course, with the commercials and the rhetoric, it was all fear. It was all fear-based, and we don't walk by fear. We don't live according to that. We don't live according to that. But I know for a fact that every one of you need to drive to get to work, to pick up your kids, to take care of your kids, and go into that gas pump. That would have made an immediate difference in your pockets. That would have taken 30 cents a gallon off the gas that you could have had money to buy your kids more clothing and keep food in your refrigerator. It would have made a difference. So that was very satanic, too. But I'm in complete agreement with you, Brother D, about these people are bought and paid for. That part of the election is definitely always rigged. And let me read the scripture that many Hebrews alluded to, which is Deuteronomy 17 and 15. It says, "Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Most High thy Yah shall choose. One from among thy brethren shall thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother." But unfortunately, a lot of people, that's why they voted for Barack, Hebrews, because they felt that, well, he was your brother and he was one of us. And he made sure he didn't do nothing for our people, our community. But that was also according to prophecy in Deuteronomy 28. Which is why we're the only nation in the world that has not received reparation for war crimes and injustice and wrong treatment. The Japanese got their money. The Khazars, fake Jews, got their money. And I believe there's a few other groups, the American Indians.
Native Americans.
Really, the Native Americans. I'm going to call them those American Indians because we know who the true indigenous people were. So you're right. Everybody got something, but they're going to make sure that they don't give us anything. But the Bible told us this would happen. But nevertheless, I'm in agreement with you. We're not to vote for a stranger and trust that he's going to bring us out and make things better. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah, well, you know, there's not a whole lot we can do. I mean, this is Satan's world.
Yeah, the whole earth has been turned over into the hands of the wicked. And let me say to you, as a as my brothers and sisters listening out there, this world is transforming itself to cater to our women, and especially to our black women, in order to destroy the family, because they want to strengthen you and cause you to look down upon that black man and say he's definitely not on my list or the type of man I want to settle down with because he doesn't have his life together. And black men, we know that we are an endangered species. Our young black men from 12 to 20-something, and as far as the older black man that does survive and live to be a little bit older, society doesn't want you to be in management, to be the boss over other nations, doesn't want you to make more than six figures. The only way you're going to make it in society is by the favor and grace of Yah. If you don't become a man of Yah, you will not make it in this society because everything is against you. You must come back to Yah, the statutes, laws, and commandments, in order to receive the favor of our Elohim in your life to maintain you and give you some sense of fulfillment in this life, and to be able to teach that woman on how she's supposed to cohabitate with you, because society's teaching her not to cohabitate with you, to enter into a mixed marriage, to sleep with her boss for promotions, and to not settle down and allow you to ever usurp authority over her. It's in the movies, the media, the commercials. If you want success, you do this. I'll never forget sometimes when my wife and them at her job, they have certain conferences, they'll say, "And you can't bring your spouse." And then there's another job where there's a woman and there's a company that'll be like, "We'll pay for the entire vacation, bring your spouse and your kids."
How'd you end up on my phone?
And the different things that they do to try to trick us and destroy our families. Brother D, you all right over there?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Okay.
I think I must have picked up my daughter-in-law's phone or something because they were looking for it. And then next thing you know, I'm hearing a buzz. And I said, what the heck is that? I got my phone here. So, but everything's all right now.
Okay. Did you have any comment? You wanted to comment on those things I was just saying?
Not a whole lot. It's just my whole thing is, like I told you, this whole election system is just it's corrupt. It's wicked, and so I don't want to have any part of that state and federal side of it, because see, they they're not going to do anything for us, and especially not going to do anything for Hebrews, because just like you said, you know, everybody's gotten reparations for us, but it's been brought up a few times, and I mean, this is a subject they don't want to really broach because they know they owe us for building this country. I mean, they look at what they were on. They can't see clear to how can we pay these people for what they've done. And so, you know, that's why they want to stay away from that.
Right. So there's no way for them to be able to compensate us. And then they're barely wanting to acknowledge the atrocities and how egregious it was what they did to us as a people. But it was mighty funny. I heard a man, a Caucasian gentleman yesterday, Robert Steele, former CIA agent, and heavily involved into a lot of whistleblowing right now. And he ran in the Green Party for president. He wants to run for president with Cynthia McKinney, who's black, who's against the government, and she fights too. But he told a bunch of room full of white folks, he said, we're the new black people. He said, we're black people. He said, all the crazy things that this country did to black people for the last 400 years, they're doing it now to us, white people, white men. And he said, I'm trying to say we have to come together, but there's still a disparity amongst the incomes, the jobs, and the treatment of how we're treated in the streets. But I know he's starting to say that he realizes that the economy and different things are starting to collapse. Opportunities are starting to collapse for them. You all probably don't realize that most middle-aged and older white men have a fear of disappearing from society. As we begin to merge races, colors, and creeds, they're starting to dissipate. So they have a tremendous amount of fears, which is what you saw in this last election as well.
Well, those curses are coming upon them. A lot of curses are coming upon them because of all the stuff that's been happening to them. You know, and then
you said it.
And a number out there saying, you know, what's going on? Why is this happening? Well, if you read this
right.
book, you'll find out why it's happening.
Well,
you know?
We know our
reparations is coming with Yeshua. That's where we're going to get
right.
those.
We need to take this into consideration, what you're saying. If we're coming to the end of 400 years since we landed at Point Comfort, Virginia in 1619, even though we were earlier, we were in Peru and Ecuador, Dominican Republic, places like that. We're coming to the end of 400 years slave trade, and there's some things we've taken into consideration of what happened in Egypt. I want you all to hear me good. That they understand, there's not too many people that don't know the plight of our people, the disparity, what that 400 years means, H.R. 1242, African countries asking us to come back home, people acknowledging that they did us wrong, people going to the United Nations trying to figure out how to pay us reparations, the two museums they have of the atrocities that happened to us, one in New York in front of the United Nations Plaza and the other one, I believe, in Atlanta or D.C., not sure. So it's known by everyone. But what's going to happen is that the rhetoric to do something for us or let us go is going to begin to get louder. But what you have to understand, brothers and sisters, that this is synonymous and akin to when we came out of Egypt. They were asked, Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and warned repeatedly. And when they constantly said no or avoided it, plagues did come, like Deacon Abraham was saying. What people don't realize that these plagues lasted for like about 2 and 3 years apiece. The locusts, insects, 3 years, the frogs. 3 years, They kept saying no in spite of these plagues that lasted for multiple years until finally the Most High had to lower the boom and say, okay, now I'm getting ready to kill all of your firstborn. It's about to be blood now. No more suffering. There's getting ready to be blood. There's nothing new under the sun, and we need to pay close attention to what happened when coming out of Egypt. They came out with all the riches, but they came out with the riches after there was death. Which is how we got our Passover. Because he told us to kill a lamb, put the blood over the doorpost, because I'm going to send the death angel. But when I see the blood, I'll pass. Now, for you non-messianic maniacs out here who don't even believe in Yeshua, Jesus, whatever you want to call him, there will definitely be no blood over you that the death angel will see and pass. You won't get the mark because you have not even accepted Christ. Okay? But what I really want you to understand is what the D is saying. Plagues are starting to come upon these other nations, and they don't know what it is with the economy and suffering and sicknesses, and they're blaming the CDC and the FDA. Most High is allowing these things. How do I know that? Because of what we read last week, Proverbs 16:4. The Lord, our Elohim, hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. So he's going to allow these new terrorists, which happen to be Caucasians, and Ishmael to start acting up for the day of evil that is getting ready to come upon this land. And you have to see that we're getting ready to see what happened coming out of Egypt happen again here with us, where they're going to have to figure out what to do with our people and the remnant, because he's going to gather us, and he's going to allow for a safe gathering and a safe transport of us to be protected while Babylon is destroyed. Hallelujah.
And let's not forget, you know, I'm sure even back there during the Passover, because, you know, we have stiff-necked Hebrews out there, the ones that say, oh, you know, I'm a Hebrew, so everything is good, and the Most High is going to be with me, even though I'm not doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing. But I'm a Hebrew. I'm sure we had some stiff-necked Hebrews back there. Oh, man, I couldn't find a lamb. The Most High is taking care of all of us, right? No. If you're not being obedient, you're not going to be protected. And like I said, I'm sure we had some stiff-necked Hebrews back there during the Passover who their home didn't get passed up. Death angel visited them. So as Hebrew, we can recognize that we're Hebrews. But we need to recognize what we need to do to be right in the Most High's eyes.
There you go. You bring up a good point. It's not documented, but the chances are that there were many who were killed and destroyed. Don't forget, millions came out, but only a few went into the Promised Land. And that was the children of those that were killed off in the wilderness. And, of course, we know that Joshua and Caleb, they went into the land, but not even Moses made it because of his disobedience. So disobedience is a key factor. And disobedience comes in the form of people not wanting to do what anybody, the leadership, is telling them to do. Moses, his leader, was the Most High. Most High said, I did not tell you to strike that rock. You already threw the first set of commandments down. You keep letting these Negroes make you mad. All right, I gave you a chance the first time. I let you go back up to the mountain with some more tablets, and we did it again. Now disobey me again. Okay, I already told you what these people are like, because I'm ready to kill them off and start a new nation with you. So that's why I said he's sitting back and he's watching us. I'm looking at a bunch of folks right now, and I put this on Facebook, that are playing the Council of Nicaea 356 A.D. and telling our people what books they should be reading and what books they shouldn't read. And they're going back to the 66 book saying, throw the Apocrypha away. It's garbage. That is blasphemous. I wouldn't even put my mouth on something like that, because the book of Deuteronomy and the book of Revelations 22 and Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, tells us, do not add or take away or omit anything as it pertains to my word. The Apocrypha, if King James, his scribes and Pharisees had enough sense to include it, who the heck do you think you are to say we don't need it? You're acting just like those Roman bishops who were Roman Catholic Christians who hated the Hebrews, who took the books away from you so that you wouldn't have knowledge. And we go and we see nothing new under the sun, the same thing being repeated. And the disobedience is because there are things in that apocrypha that light bring us into truth. And also people just don't want to understand what Yah said about keeping the commandments and study to show thyself approved. And my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
But, you know, Brother V, what really, struck me was when reading the book, the Book of Kings. You can count on one hand the number of kings that were obedient to the Most High. I mean, each one I kept reading, it kept saying they did evil in the Most High's eye. And, it just kept going on. It was just a theme. And I said, and the Most High is still with us. Because even if they're just like with Noah, he found one righteous man. And so he saved them and saved Israel.
Right. One righteous man who was obedient. And, when we talk about the Passover and having the blood of Yeshua in your life so that the death angel will pass, this is the same thing that's going to happen when he sends the angels. He's going to send his angels, according to the book of Revelations. Let me go ahead and get that.
Let's get that.
Revelations. I believe, let me see. There's 22, there's 10 and 4, too. Do you know which scripture I'm in reference to?
Well, I'm looking for it.
Okay. And I don't understand how people are going to deny Christ, his work and his sacrifice. What are you going to do, go to some farm and try to find a lamb without a blemish and put it all over your body so that the death angel don't bother you or that the Antichrist or when judgment hits? It's not going to work. You have to accept the work of Christ and repent and be baptized. So we want to find the scripture in Revelation. I didn't just want to quote it. I want to read it to you verbatim.
Are we looking at Revelation 9 and 11? Let me see. What would I do with my book? Okay, it is. Okay, let me find it. Let's see.
It may be Revelations. Let me read this. Revelation 7, 1 through 8. And when it talks about 144,000 as well. Excuse me, everybody listening out there. I'm just trying to pull this up on my phone and my Bible right now. I'm trying to get this together. Moving kind of slow when you got a pen on this internet that they have definitely slowed down. Okay, Revelation 7, verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, not on the globe of the earth, the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living Yah. And this angel cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. These four angels in the four corners will be turned loose to destroy the earth and the sea, to bring damage. But he came down screaming, and he came down. This fifth angel came and stopped the other four and said, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our Yah in their foreheads. That is synonymous with what happened at the Passover when I see the blood out pass. Before these angels are set loose to wreak havoc upon the entire earth, the trees, the sea, there's a fifth angel that will be sealing the true servants of Yah in their foreheads. Brothers and sisters, are you a servant of Yah or a servant of yourself? Verse 4, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali, all of the tribes are represented. Everyone, skip down to verse 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation, Yeshua, to our Yah, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. I'm going to stop right there. Because what you have is that there was a segue to another scene in John's vision where he saw those that were slain, some that are going to die during Jacob's trouble and during the tribulation, and there will be other nations, because the book of Amos tells us that there is a remnant of heathens, Gentiles, that will be called by his name that will make it in. The sealing of the 12,000 from each tribe represents a husband and wife, their children, their families, but these are the leadership of these tribes that are sealed, and there will be others that come in with them behind them. Go ahead, Brother D.
Yeah, and about that remnant of the other nations, and that's definitely going to be a remnant, because as you see, there are too many of them out there that they don't want to acknowledge who Yah's people are. And I'm sure once some of them find out, because they're all going to find out, you know, and everybody's going to find out who Yah's people are, and the hatred, the racism, or whatever, is such that they, you know, they won't accept that. So that's why there's only going to be a remnant, because a lot of them will not accept it, because they've been on top for so long, you know, they feel they're the ones that have been blessed. And I guess they have been blessed with that. That was a blessing that Isaac gave Esau, you know. And so so many of them that will not accept this truth.
Oh, most definitely. I hear what you're saying. Many of them will jump to their own death when they find out the truth and who the true people are.
Yeah.
You know. But you got to remember that the prophet said that for the Feast of Tabernacles, though that remnant, they better come up and worship on the mountain, or else that next season they will not have rain.
There is no rain, no crops, no eat.
Right. But what I wanted to bring out was mainly the sealing before that destruction comes. There will be those that will be sealed in the forehead and protected, and no harm shall come nigh their dwelling. And when you talk about obedience, I just don't understand for the life of me why everybody's trying to skirt by and not come out of her, my people, and stop acting like the world, dressing like the world, being like the world, not partaking in the holy days, not keeping the Sabbath and Shabbat, still turning up, still wanting to get high, still giving in out of marriage, married, divorce, married, divorce, married, divorce, leaving your spouse, committing adultery, breaking the Ten Commandments. Let me tell you something about these Satan worshipers. One thing that they're doing now is they're starting to really advocate for being baptized in animal blood, drinking blood, cannibalism. And the other thing they must do is break every one of the Ten Commandments on purpose when they're initiated. They must live a life of breaking the commandments and living a life without laws. People who live without the law of the Most High are following a satanic premise. People who tell you the law is done away with, we just got grace. It's a satanic premise. So we have to know that the Ten Commandments is the starting point and are very important, which is what we talk about. They are a blueprint for how we should conduct our lives, and Satan knows it. Many of you don't even know that our governments, our nations, our capitals, at night while you slept, took statues and pillars and busts of the Ten Commandments out of the federal buildings. Our nation is no longer a nation that fears Yah. They are into satanic worship. They brought in all types of satanic statues. They let y'all fight over these other statues because they were Confederate. But while you all were distracted, they pulled everything that had to do with the Bible and the commandments out of every federal building and got rid of it at night and destroyed it. This nation no longer stands upon that. It stands upon Freemasonry, secret societies, and Satan worship. And this world is into it because they love it so. And that's how they want it. The problem is becoming us, the so-called believers that still read this book. Everybody else is accepted in the name of democracy. You can be gay, a Satan worshiper, whatever. But when you start that Christian stuff and using that book, you are hated. So all I'm going to say is like Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? Come on, this cross this line. Whoever's on the Lord's side.
When you look at this at this world and disobedience, one thing that you mentioned was we're in the height. We're starting to begin the height of the pagan holidays, and they want to hold fast to those. I mean, I'm walking down the street, and you know, these people love Christmas so much they got lights up already. I mean, people really, really love Christmas and Thanksgiving. I'm telling you,
including some of your so-called Hebrew brothers and sisters that come say shalom to you and all that, and be like shalom, brother. And then when you ain't looking, they're going to get Christmas gifts and trees and so like, and just, you know, playing double-sided. They don't want to let that stuff go.
Yeah.
And as many of you all who have gotten yourself involved with a spouse or a mate who's not walking with you or submitted to these laws and all these mixed marriages, you split inside the house. One wants to worship Satan. One wants to worship the Most High. One wants to keep traditions. One wants to change. Then get your house in order.
Yeah, all about coming out of her, coming out of that world. That's what it's about. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And you can't come out of the world if you're still doing these pagan holidays because you want to fit in because the world doing them. And so you say, well, you know, I'll be an outcast. You know, I'm just going to do it just to fit in. I'm sure the Most High understand. No, you won't understand because you're being disobedient.
That's right. Get your Jeremiah 10th chapter scriptures ready for that pagan Christmas tree. And you fight back. Put that scripture in your slingshot and let your family know. So I see you called up into that Gentile heathen pagan worship, huh? I don't care how mad they get. Unfortunately, they're going to have to stand before the Most High, and the Most High is going to remind them that you told them and they ignored it.
Because they will get offended.
Oh,
they will get offended. I mean, that's what I had around my family. People upset about the fact that you're not following Christmas anymore. What about all the good times? I said, well, that's all in the past. I said, I didn't know any better then. I said, now I know. And now I know. And if I continue to be disobedient after I know, I'm pretty much damning myself.
Yeah. What about all the good times? Tell them thanks for the memories. Ain't that one of your Christmas songs? Thanks for the memories.
Exactly. I'm making a new and better memories. But yeah, that's what they do. They say, oh, we had a great time and all this. You know, and what about all the stuff we did on Christmas? I said, well, yeah, like I said, I didn't know any better. I didn't know I was worshiping Nimrod and Satan. I didn't know I was doing that. That's right.
Worshiping Nimrod and Satan. Wasn't worshiping Christ, wasn't worshiping the Most High. It was caught up, it was blanketed, you were deceived. And so now we can take a page out of Shaul's book and say, getting those things which are behind me, this one thing I do, I press toward the mark to obtain the prize. So I'm forgetting about that behind me. Thanks for the memory. That was nice then, but it was ignorance. That ignorance was getting ready to kill me and destroy me and take me to hell.
You know, Brother V, too, if people say that they, you know, they believe in this Bible, they believe in this book, you know, you tell them, okay, look in there and find, tell me where you find Christmas in there. You know, and you're saying, come away by Christmas. Yes, yes, the only reference, and that reference is, as far as they're concerned, is a negative one. Because it says, right, don't do it.
Right.
Yeah, but
now, you know, the one
but they'll skip right over that.
The one they kill me with is Thanksgiving that's coming up. I'm talking about the Bible said, in all things, give thanks.
not in evil and sin. Because that's what they're giving thanks to, the evilness and the sin that brought that so-called day about.
Exactly.
Just wanton killing, you know, of Native Americans brought that about, and that's what you're celebrating. And when you tell people, you know, it's funny, you tell people about that part, some of them get indignant. They get indignant about that. So that's not what we're celebrating, you know, the things that we were that the Most High gave us, and the fact that He helped our ancestors when they came to this land. You know what I said? It had nothing to do with that. I said, you're not reading the book. You're not reading the history of Thanksgiving, because people, just like Second Thessalonians 2:11 says, they want to believe a lie.
Yeah. That's what they want to believe. They
Most
want to believe.
Yeah, so let's turn you over to that.
Yeah. Well, it's getting ready to happen. They didn't got to pass this election, so I just want you brothers and sisters to know that there'll be a calm before the storm. I'm prophesying this now. With these fake pagan holidays, they'll tend to pull back from their activities now that they got past this vote, lull you back to sleep. And then when we see this Gregorian calendar of 2009 get ready to hit, you're going to realize that there's more infrastructure in place to your demise and to enslave you and destroy you as a people and kill off populations, keep a civil war going, a lot more sickness, a lot more death. And I know you've been hearing rumors about the economy collapsing. Well, check this out. It's already collapsed. It's already in place. The New World Order is already in place. It's all in place. They're just trying to figure out when to tip the switch. And I'll give you some facts. The New World Order is steeped deep inside of the Patriot Act and the 3,000-page health bill, which is why that's such a big issue, because all of the infrastructure of the New World Order and the Jacob's trouble and us being internment camps and being slaves and being our power taken away from us, it's all put into those bills and those politics, and you don't even know it because nobody has ever read the 3,000-page health bill, including the president. They got a bunch of attorneys, hundreds of attorneys, to draw it up to enslave us as a people. The economy's already done. Your paper money is monopoly. You have no money, and most of you hold no gold coins. Most of you don't even know that if your gold coins are after 1933, that the federal government can come and confiscate them and take them away from you. You won't even be able to use those. So you don't have any knowledge. You better trust the Most High if you don't have this type of information to understand what's getting ready to come on us. And we watched it happen to Venezuela, Greece. Everything is ready to implode because we're ignorant.
Yeah, well, people are trusting, instead of trusting in the Most High, not only are the heathens, but a lot of our people are trusting in America, that America is going to set things right. And if they actually read the Bible, look at that manuscript, they'll realize that, you know, America can't set anything right.
And y'all better get right with Christ and with the Most High, because every one of y'all that brought me in your house and showed me your three guns and your box full of bullets ain't gonna last long. And it's not gonna really protect you from nothing. Help you to hold down your house, but protection is in the Most High. So stay true to Him, find joy and solace in serving Him and seeking Him daily while He may be found. The joy of our Elohim is our strength. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Got any final comments, Brother D?
Not much. Like I said, I'm going to continue to enjoy the day for you people out there that are still on the plantation. Hope this inspired you to get over this hump day. And like I said, head to the Shabbat. I just want to say shalom to all those brothers and sisters out there and the strangers that will be among us.
I'm going to close out by saying something. A disability is not an inability. And an inability does not affect your capabilities. You have the ability at the end of the day to make it happen. Don't go beyond your threshold. He'll give you exactly what you need when you need it. And he does not put more on you than you can bear. So this is Ella V, Deacon Abiram, saying enjoy the rest of your day. May the Most High bless and keep you. Shalom.
Shalom.
Keep your head.